He's still hoping that they can. Oh! Oh, Tatum goes down hard. Bounces right back up. Jaylen Brown gets into Tatum Martin's face. He thought there was something wrong there. Tatum got up and walked away. He didn't. But Brown stuck up for his teammate.
I mean, that doesn't look dirty. He looked like Caleb Martin was going in to jump for the offensive rebound, and it just was weird timing.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm not trying to start nothing here, but I'm just... Eric Spoelstra called a timeout with a minute 30, down by 16. 30 seconds later, that play happens. 30 seconds later, why is he calling a timeout at 1:30?
Down 16.
And then why is that play happening? That play right there, 30 seconds later. I don't know, man. That looks shady to me.
What you call that?
Code red.
A code red, said Scal. Which, by the way, was his nickname in college. That's hour number two. Jones and Arcan, no Mego. She had to leave early today. Got a bad batch of Mountain Dew, is what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
Though the text line and the Twitch chat, of course, is very concerned about Mego and her well-being. I will get into the Celtics and Heat. Pretty ugly game one yesterday. Not a ton to sink your teeth into. Outside of that final exchange between Tatum and Caleb Martin, the code red, as Scal put it. So we'll get to that. We'll also circle back to our big question of the day. Will we see both goalies in this series? A lot of people have asked who should start game two tonight. I say Swayman. Arcan says Swayman. Even Mego said Swayman, and she's Team Allmark over there.
She's also very sick, so maybe.
She is. Yeah, she might not be thinking
might
straight.
Might have been the flu talking there.
Should we see both goalies in the series? 62% say yes, we should see both goalies in the series, which I vehemently disagree with. And, Arcan, you are outraged at just the discrepancy in that number.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe so many people are voting that way. I really am just surprised. That's it.
Okay, you're just surprised.
Swayman, I thought, was the reason why.
It's kind of a current-esque pregnant pause there. I wasn't sure if you had more. Okay.
Swayman was good enough in that game, I thought. From the very beginning of the game, like right in the very Toronto had a bunch of scoring chances, and Swayman was great from the very beginning of that game. I thought that would be enough to sort of ease the masses or appease the masses for at least a couple games. But people still want to see the rotation. I'm shocked.
Yeah, and again, I don't think they lost because they went away from their rotation last year. I think they chose the wrong goalie or stuck with the wrong goalie for too long. Or, as the text line pointed out, maybe Bergeron rushed back and ruined everything because he needed he's a glory hog at the end. By the way, we've also talked some draft. Diana Rossini says the Patriots are listening at pick three. She also says Jonathan Kraft is very, very involved. We'll take your draft thoughts here on Jones and Arcan. On WEEI, our draft coverage is brought to you by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston and Cape Cod's choice for home heating, oil delivery, and expert HVAC product and services at McFarlandEnergy.com, and by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Spices. That's our draft coverage here on WEEI. We'll have a lot of it with the draft just 3 days, 4 hours, 54 minutes, and 48 seconds away. You can jump in on the phone, 617-779-7937. Again, Mego had to leave. Text line Arcan, very concerned about her, 37937. Is Mego drunk again? I'm worried about her. It's true.
Again.
She was hungover on, was it Friday?
Yes.
Very hungover on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And now bad batch of the dew.
Her birthday
was a couple weeks ago. Maybe she's doing the Arcan thing, month-long celebration. Hey.
That's a good point. All I know is Arcan was beaming when Mego left. Not just because he has more time to talk, but also because this is future ammunition. I already know he's going to use it against Mego for ditching out mid-show.
100%.
I mean, Arcan, he's never left mid-show.
It's true.
I mean, he just won't show up. He won't bother leaving his house. He just won't show up.
I feel like that's an important part here.
But he's never left mid-show.
It's okay. Fair point, Jones. Fair point.
Future ammunition for Arcan.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and Lunenburg in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. He says, let's go. Finally got that toots out of here. Now we can have a manly show.
About time.
It's true. Very manly program here today. P-Sheehan 24 in the Twitch chat. The voice of reason has left the building.
That's also true.
That's also very true, mm-hmm. I would say. And then there's this one. Today's Megsplaining vomit noises is what we're going to be doing. So get ready for that. Arcan, did the Heat send a message to Jason Tatum and the Celtics at the end of the game, the code red that Scal was discussing?
I think Scal is 100% right. I think that's exactly what happened. I think that's the plan that they have. I think without Jimmy Butler, they need some sort of spark like that, and they can't take this team just on talent alone. I know that when they played around the Super Bowl, Butler didn't play in that game, and that was a close game, but I don't think you're going to see that in this series unless they go out there and try and intimidate the Celtics and try and punch them in the face and do what they did at the end of that game. That play by Caleb Martin was a dirty play. I'm sorry. Anybody's like, oh, he was just trying to go up for the rebound. No, he wasn't. He jumped into Tatum when Tatum was already at the peak of his jump. That's about as dirty as it gets. Really, it's a dangerous play. It was a dangerous play, and he did it on purpose, and I wouldn't be at all shocked if Spoelstra didn't outright say, go out there and undercut Jason Tatum.
Undercut him?
But go out there and There's no foul.
Okay, fine. That.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he told him to go out there and undercut him.
That's what you just said.
No, I said he didn't do that. I literally said he didn't. I don't think he did.
Perhaps I misheard you.
Okay, well, the point is, I don't think he said go and undercut him, but I do think he said go and give a hard foul.
Okay, that's what I think, too. Yeah. I think Spoelstra's like, look, their starters are out there. Which, by the way, people are, like, blaming Mazzulla for having a starter set. It was just a 12-point game, like, 2 seconds before that. Your starters should be out there. It's a playoff game. It's a 12-point game. Miami just made a giant run. The starters should be out there. I have no problem with that.
Me neither.
But Spoelstra might have, so I'm not blaming Mazzulla for this, but Spoelstra might have said, why the hell are those guys out there? Let's send him a message. Let's send them a message, and let's get some momentum now for game two, which is on, what, Tuesday night?
Wednesday night.
I'm sorry. Not till Wednesday. Let's get some momentum now. Give them something to think about.
Memorial Day.
I don't think he said go hurt Jason Tatum. I don't think he said undercut him. I apologize for mishearing you, Arcan. I don't think he said any of that. But did he say, guys, let's go send a message. Let's let them know we're here. I bet he said that. That's the Pat Riley way.
Yep.
That's the Eric Spoelstra way. That's Heat culture. So, yeah. I believe they said something like that. I wouldn't go as far as Scal went after the Code Red comment. I agree with the Code Red. Scal went a little far here in my estimation.
You go ahead. The best player? I didn't like that.
So is this them trying to send a message, or is that just a dirty play?
I mean, to me, it's a dirty play.
Yeah.
I think anybody should look at that. Like, I think Martin should get suspended for that. That's a dirty play. You can't do that. Like, just think about that. The NBA is about the star players. The idea of winning a championship is your star players have to stay healthy. And you just, the guy goes up and you just ram into him? That ain't basketball.
Okay. I mean, look, was it a dirty play? Yeah.
Yeah.
Should he be suspended? God, no. You're going to suspend Caleb Martin over
that? If he was a repeat offender, if he was Draymond Green, he might have got suspended.
Fine. Yep. Fine.
But he doesn't have a reputation like that, so I don't think so.
If you're Draymond, if you're Dylan Brooks, if you're Marcus Smart... Then and you have a track record of being a dirty-ass player, well, then fine, maybe. But you're right. In the case of Caleb, he shouldn't be suspended, for God's sakes. Was it dirty? Eh, it's a foul. Could Tatum have gotten hurt? Absolutely. He got his free throws. Tatum was more than fine. Did you like Jaylen Brown's response? A lot of people are giving Jaylen credit for, like, standing up for Tatum. I thought he was way – if you want to give him credit for standing up, I thought he was way late to stand up for his buddy there.
He got in between them, I saw, and then Martin slapped his hand away. And
Tatum was already up and on his feet and running away and clearly fine.
Yeah, and everybody sort of gathered around.
Ooh,
I didn't think
Jaylen went to defend his buddy. Eh. I mean, ultimately, after he knew Tatum was fine, he smacked away Caleb Martin's hand.
Well, Martin
and he spoke
went
a couple of words.
Martin went to try and help him up, which I thought was a weasel move, too. It's like, all right, you're going to hit the guy, and now you're going to try and help him up like bleep you. You know, if you're going to hit him, just hit him. And I liked that Brown sort of was like, get out of here. You know, this is my teammate, whatever. But I didn't think it was some big stand he took.
Me neither. Yeah. I didn't think it was a quick response whatsoever. And so,
it wasn't
fine.
Like Robert Parrish punching Lambeer.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than, like, not coming to his aid at all. But this idea that, like, ooh, the Celtics are together and standing up for Tatum. Eh. But so here's what I thought about the game, and we can get into this beyond just Miami sending a message. I'm with you, Arkan. I think they clearly were trying to send a message. I think it's the only way they're going to win the series.
It's all they have.
Way they're going to win this series without Butler. With Butler, I'd give them a chance, meaning like they can drag this thing out. They can go 6 or 7. I know Ryan's snickering at that in the other room. I've seen it too many times to not respect Miami. I respect Miami, but they need to be at something approaching full strength. They're not. They didn't even have Rozier. Never mind Jimmy Butler. They're not at full strength. They're not going to win this series straight up. The only way they're going to do it is muck it up because the Celtics are soft. And I think the Heat see that. I think Pat Riley sees that. I think Spoelstra sees that. I would expect more of the same. And so to me, hell yeah, they ordered the Code Red. I don't think they said go undercut Tatum and hurt him. I don't think Caleb Martin should be suspended or anything like that. No league investigation. But Miami was trying to give him something to think about going into game two. And we'll see if it works or not. I've seen the Celtics go soft. They are mentally soft.
Gross.
They're fragile. That is gross. They're mentally soft, Arkan. I've seen them be fragile before. And let's see if this works. I don't totally rule out that it's going to work.
Yeah, I don't rule it out either. And I think that the only way the Celtics don't sweep here is one of two options. One you just said is that they get intimidated by the Heat playing them tougher, which I think is a possibility. But, I mean, we're not talking about a really super tough Heat team here. We're talking about Caleb Martin and, you know, like a bunch of guys who Kevin Love, and who's really going to go out there and intimidate them? I don't feel like that's the type of team that can do that. What I think may work in their favor is if it throws the Celtics off a little bit. Like, I think the only way the Celtics don't sweep is if they go out and have an awful shooting night and they miss like 75% of their threes or something, which they've had games like that this year. I think that's the only way that the Heat get a game out of this series.
Put a pin in that. The idea that the Celtics are going to shoot their way out of a game, because if they keep shooting like they shot in game one, it's coming. Meaning if they're taking 49 threes, they're not going to hit 22 every game. Sam Hauser's not going to be red hot every game. They're going to have a game where they hit 12. And so I think that played into Miami's hand. Just the Celtics were hot. We know when the Celtics are hot, they win playoff games. What happens when they go cold? And I agree. Does Miami have like an enforcer to step to the Celtics? Not really. But the Celtics are a soft-ass team. And so it's more about the Celtics, and do they get away from their game, or do they start trying to play the game on Miami's terms or something like that? Did Miami send a message? Was it intentional? Was it dirty? Do you agree with Scal? Caleb Martin should be suspended.
Correct.
617-779-7937. By the way, shame on me for missing the obvious Mountain Dew Code Red jokes with Mega.
Oh, God, yeah. Right.
Twitch did not.
I was going to say, a lot of those on the text line. A lot of those in Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Also, credit to the Twitch chat, not just for picking up on jokes. They also corrected my math on the Red Sox, Arcan.
Uh-huh.
I penciled them in for a 656 winning percentage, not a 565 winning percentage.
Tough.
Dyslexic Jones or whatever that was.
Tough. Let me worry about Y equals MX plus B.
And so they corrected me. I think it's a 94 win pace, something like that. I'd have to redo the math. It was not 106. That was wishful thinking on the glass half full Jones hashtag fun size.
Just ask Twitch next time if you need some math.
You know what?
They got you.
I should. I tried to do it in the middle of the segment. It was stupid. It was a mistake. 617-779-7937. All your Celtics thoughts along with our big question of the day on the Bruins. Who are they going with tonight in game two right after Trending with Arcan?
How young? So young.
We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff.
Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arcan.
I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over.
On WEEI.
Joe, when Jason fell, it looked like he hit his hip and his head. What were you thinking as he was going down? I know Boston was probably collective sigh right there. Have you spoken to him? He did look like he hit his head a little bit.
I was just thinking, I was waiting to see what he was going to do. I was kind of excited about the whole situation, so I enjoyed watching it.
What about in terms of how he feels?
He's fine. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks.
Can I just tell you, I love that answer from Missoula. He's fine. He's a big boy. What are we crying for?
I like how he's like, yeah, I really liked watching him.
Okay, so the first part was a little weird.
That was really hot.
Yeah, were they going to fight? Yeah, what were they going to do? Grapple each other?
He's like holding his collar. He's like, oh, yeah.
There is no fear in this dojo.
Yeah, were they going to roll around and grapple? Yeah.
Get a little oil on him.
So, like, that part was weird, admittedly.
Joe, it's a basketball court. It's not a dojo.
There is no fear in this dojo.
I love the end, though, when he's like, he's fine.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's fine.
And Tatum said, I'm fine after the game.
And I was just going to say this. Yeah. Credit to Tatum. We'll play it for you coming up, because Tatum didn't, like, carry on about it either. So good for the Celtics. I don't know if Miami's tactics are going to work, but their tactics, as Scal put it, they ordered the code red.
No mercy!
Now, as Scal also put it, he wants Caleb Martin suspended. I wouldn't go that far. Although the text line, 37937, just saw the foul on Tatum. Okay. Good start to the text.
Busy Sunday.
Yeah. Dirty play by Martin could have seriously hurt Tatum. Should be a suspension. That could have hurt Tatum. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
When you get undercut like that and you land on your wrist or potentially your tailbone or your head if you smack on the court.
I'm sure he is very sore today.
Yeah. I mean, look, he could have been hurt. But I don't think Martin purposefully injured him or attempted to injure him. I do think Spoelstra called a timeout and said, guys, give him something to think about going into game two. That I believe. But no further than that. I don't think he intentionally tried to hurt Tatum.
Yeah.
He could have hurt him as a byproduct of that. But anytime you get physical with a player, you can hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And I was saying earlier, like, can the Heat really even do this? Are they the type of team that can do it? Bam Adebayo is a big guy. Hawkes is kind of a bit for a guard. Like, he's a big, strong guy. Like, maybe they can do that a little bit. Maybe I'm underselling that.
See,
but, like, I think Duncan irrelevant. Robinson, and I think of, you know, Caleb Martin and Tyler Hero and these little dweebs, and I'm like, what's that guy going to do, you know? But they do have some tough guys on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's about that. I just think the Celtics are soft, and so it doesn't take much to rattle them. Jaime Hawkes or, you know, Bam Adebayo, they can rattle the Celtics, potentially. I'm not saying they will, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think any team can rattle the Celtics. I don't think they're the mentally strongest team. I don't think they're a tough team.
Yeah.
And so go ahead and prove me wrong. Maybe they'll prove me wrong.
No Grant Williams this year to try to fire up the other team, though, at least.
Yeah. Now, look, I think Butler and, you know, guys like P.J. Tucker and guys like that they've had in the past, I think would help.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think what Caleb Martin did is enough. Let's see how the Celtics handle it. Let's see if Bam Adebayo brings it to Porzingis a little bit. You know, Porzingis never won a playoff series before, and he played well in game one.
I thought he was the difference in that game. I know that Tatum's game was great and the triple-double was, you know, all that, but he wasn't having a good shooting night, and he did become a good playmaker. I thought Porzingis' defense, just the rim protection, was really, really big and something that you just didn't see as much last year. I like Horford, and, you know, you had other guys who could go in the middle, but Porzingis was a real force out there on defense.
Come. So did they send a message? 617-779-7937, and will it matter? Miami is vastly outgunned. I mean, they have no talent without Butler. And I know Ryan even claims they don't have talent with Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier, everybody else. And so I wonder if that'll matter. And I do want to get to the Celtics in their shooting. We'll do that coming up. But in the meantime, Bunchy waiting patiently on the Bruins and their decision tonight. Carl's in Westfield. Go ahead, Carl.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, Carl. I have a unique and simple fact that I'm having two great goalies.
Okay.
But I have to say that. I have to say, when you go out and think, send it a message, it's potentially hurting someone. And the way he landed, when I walked in and saw that, I cringed and stepped back. That is no a policy, and that's no strategy. It's an unfortunate, bad reality. And someone like Tatum, who's not a dirty player, whose kid's sitting there, there's a whole bunch of movies written about that, you know, and like The Goodfellas, there's someone just like this. They don't fear you. They fear you. They don't love you. And speaking of loving you, this is a really simple, lovable answer. The Jennings and the Venza Award. Last year, Venza, number one goalie.
Jennings and Vezina, yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Vezina.
We had him, Vezina. We had both of them. So I heard this guy say that when you have two super hot goalies, it makes it difficult from a other team's perspective. They have to prepare for one of two instead of just one.
Carl, did you text this to the show as well? Did you text us 37937?
No, I don't have a phone that does that. I don't even have internet. But listen.
Okay, well, Carl, that honestly adds up based on this phone call.
I don't have a phone that does that.
Let me tell you. No, I don't have a phone that does that.
Text message?
Texting. That sounds like my first phone, RK. My first phone in college. I've told this story before.
The Nokia?
I had like a legit straight up burner phone. I had like a burner phone that you got like minutes on.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Boston.
Sold a lot of drugs on it.
I came from little old Vermont. I had, you know, no idea how prominent I knew like two people in high school with cell phones. Mm-hmm. I didn't know cell phones were gonna be prominent. And so, yeah, I was like, wait, texting? I was like, I don't think my phone does that. I was in 2005 with my crap-ass burner phone. But something tells me that adds up with that
message?
That caller.
Text?
I was like, phones get the talkies now.
Guys, it cost me. Don't text me. It costs half a unit. I'm out of units. Stop texting me. It's a real story, Ryan. Meanwhile, we got texts like this, 37937. They cost half a unit.
I know where they didn't come from.
He says the Bruins have a beautiful problem. Two hot goalies. And nobody talks about this aspect. Wrong. We just got a call on it. The opponent has to get used to two goalies rather than one. Strategic advantage. Do we think that's a strategic advantage?
No.
I don't either. If people are really saying, apparently many people are saying, it's on the text line and people are calling about it. Apparently many people are saying that. I do not think that's a strategic advantage. If you're playing two goalies, that means you don't have one. That's a problem.
Yes, that's what I think. And, you know, it's not like you don't have one goalie, because they do have two good goalies. And the Rangers in the 90s had two good goalies. They had Richter and Van Beesbrouck for years and years, and then they finally trade Van Beesbrouck, and it's just Richter, and they win the Stanley Cup that year. And I know that's just one example, and there's other ones, but, like, that's one that sticks out to me, because everyone sort of thought, oh, well, you got these two goalies, you know, you gotta ride the two goalies, and they couldn't win until they had just one. And that was also 35 years ago, or whatever it was, but I do think there's something to that.
There's
something to riding up one hot goalie.
Okay, so I'm trying to think. Now, we got Mogan Lemelin. That was in the 80s. And by the way, that doesn't work. They didn't rotate every other game, and they didn't win the cup.
Moog started, I think, every game of the finals.
Okay, so that one doesn't even work. I'll grant you maybe a couple of years ago, Colorado winning the cup, but that was based on performance. That wasn't a pure goalie rotation. I'll grant you maybe Pittsburgh. I thought Fleury and Martin kind of rotated in one run, but again, that was performance-based. Did the Red Wings ever do it?
So like they Vernon and Hasek and all those guys.
Yeah.
So I forget exactly what the
I think they rode the hot
was,
hand.
But I think they did too.
I mean, especially with Hasek when they had him, I'm pretty sure he was their goalie. Maybe they did it more with Vernon and Osgood.
I'll look that up.
6-1-7.
But I know for sure that the Rangers didn't win until they traded Van
Beesbrugge.
That's
the '90s. We're talking pre-lockout NHL 20+ years ago. So I mean, I don't know how relevant that is, but maybe that's an example. Maybe it's at least better than Mogan Lemelin. Steve is in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think that they should put in Swayman again tonight because he's hot, and they're not expecting Monty to do that. They're expecting him to do the switch. And I would say use Allmark on the road when they go to Toronto.
Steve, why are we using Allmark? Why are we using Allmark? If Swayman wins games one and two. Now, look, there's a gray area here. If Swayman wins like he won on the second game back in February against Dallas or Edmonton or whoever it was when he played two straight. Last time any Bruins goaltender played two straight was February 17th and 19th, and Swayman wasn't good in the second game. They won, but he wasn't great. They win 6-5 in overtime or something like that. Maybe you look at going to Allmark in game three. Maybe. I just want to play Swayman. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I acknowledge there's some gray area and you can look at it. Why right now, after the way Swayman played in game one, are you even considering playing Allmark in this series? I don't get it.
Because it's the plan, and I don't agree with this, but this is what it's the plan. It's what they've done all year, and Jeremy Swayman, when he had to play in back-to-back games, wasn't good, and the reason why is because he's not built like that, and that's why he needed to have two goalies on this team, because Swayman's not good enough to carry the load himself, and that's an argument, and we'll see if he actually is or not. I believe in him. You believe in him.
Yep.
I think that he should have gotten this opportunity years prior to this. I don't think this should have been the first time he tried this, but I think that's the argument, and listen, there's something to be said for having a routine and something that works and, you know, not breaking something or not trying to fix something that's not broken. But in this case, it's the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, you're talking about a guy who's had experience in the final, in the Cup, in the Cup playoffs,
yeah,
and not good experience. And a guy like Swayman, who I think's ready.
Okay, a couple of messages here in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. A lot of people are reacting to referring to the goalies as hot.
Mm-hmm.
It does make it sound like Swayman's very attractive.
So well, hot. The shoe fits.
Yeah. I don't want to...
fit.
Yeah. I don't want to ask for any preferences or anything like that in the looks department, but a couple of handsome gentlemen for sure. There's also this from Dubs985. So they're expecting Allmark and they aren't expecting Swayman to start. Or they're expecting neither one to start, rather. That's really how you sneak up on them. They don't know who's going to start.
Now, if Montgomery come out and said, our goaltender has two vowels in two K's.
No!
No!
Oh, God.
No, God, no!
Oh, God. I didn't even think about that.
By the way, 1997, Red Wings had Vernon and Osgood, and they switched off a lot during the year. In the playoffs, it was all Mike Vernon. He played all four games against Philly, and they swept him.
Yeah. So like, look, I mean, maybe
that's what they do.
Maybe you can reinvent the wheel. Maybe. Something tells me this team isn't going to do that. So why don't you just do what every other team does and play the goaltender who's on a hot streak, and that would be Swayman after game one. Meanwhile, we're also talking Celtics and Heat. Dylan is in Linfield. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hi. I just wanted to comment more on the Caleb Barton thing real quick.
Sure.
This is not like a new thing with the Heat. They have been consistently one of the most dirty teams in the entire NBA. This whole Heat culture thing really upsets me because they pretend that they're this like hardworking team when they just injure the hell out of people. They have always done this. Caleb Martin's a bum, and I'm telling you, Celtics are going to sweep these guys. Even if they had Jimmy Butler, I don't want to hear all the excuses. They're terrible.
Well, let's not debate the Butler thing. I think you're wrong, but whatever. We'll just agree to disagree. They should sweep this team.
They should.
And the only chance the Heat have is mucking it up. Now, the idea, Tomasi wrote about this today, NBC Sports Boston, the idea the Heat always do this. And old man Riles, Pat Riley, is calling in the hit. You know, last year, was it Gabe Vincent? Tatum rolled his ankle on Vincent's foot.
Mm-hmm.
Tomasi made the case maybe Gabe Vincent just left his foot in a place where Tatum could roll his ankle.
Wasn't that under the basket?
Look, I don't even think Tatum was hurt. He played the whole rest of the game. So, like, I don't even want to hear that one. He played the whole entire rest of the game. He was fine. So I don't even want to hear that one. Another one that gets brought up, and maybe the caller would have done it, was Rondo and Dwayne Wade. Like,
oh, yeah, I remember
12
that.
12 years ago?
Yeah. I think that actually was dirty.
Okay, fine, but, like, so what? But it was Rondo and Dwayne Wade. It was, like, completely different teams.
This, no.
You know? It's a completely different thing. So I don't even get how that's relevant, but fine. Okay, fine. Yeah, the Heat play on the edge more than any other team in the NBA, maybe. Fine. There are teams that can muck it up with the Celtics. You know, I think the Knicks could be one of those teams. I definitely think Denver could be physical with them.
Sure.
If you want to get to an NBA Finals. You know, maybe the Bucks. Probably not the Bucks. But, like, a team like New York could. Miami can.
I think the Bucks deserve to be in that category.
Fine. And so could the Celtics handle that? And I also want to get into the Celtics and their shooting in this game, because I do think Miami guarded them, to me, smartly. The Celtics shot their way out of that zone, or they shot Miami out of that junk zone that they got into. But the way you beat the Celtics in the playoffs is you get them to take 48, 49, as they took yesterday, 53s, and you need them to go cold. And the text line's already chirping me, 37937. You guys all know the number. Jones, when any team goes cold, they lose, you dumbass. Well, fair. But this Celtics team especially, how many times have we seen it? They get
a bunch.
In,
I mean, almost every loss.
They get into a playoff game, they can't hit from three, and they have no other way to win.
Right.
The Celtics are one-dimensional in how they win playoff games. Now, I think this year's team is more talented than last year's. In theory, they have more ways to beat you. But I got to actually see that happen. I think the Celtics played the exact same way they always play in the postseason. And the way they won in game one is exactly how they always win. Their shot was falling. 22 out of 49 threes. Miami's junk zone didn't work because the Celtics were hot. What happens if they go 12 for 49? Do they have another way to beat a team like Miami? That's what I want to see, because I would sit in that zone if I were the Heat. I would force Tatum to give up the ball and throw it to Sam Hauser in the corner. And one of these games is going to go cold, and the Heat could steal a game in that scenario. That's how I'd try to win if I'm Miami. I think they played it right.
Yeah, and I think defensively they still have – you're right, the zone didn't work like all night, but there were times where the Heat went on a run, and it was because they were getting turnovers and they were getting misses and they were hitting the glass, and, you know, they would bring the game back to a respectable margin. It's not like – I mean, they were down 30 and then they cut it down to 12. So, like, they were making runs. It's not like they weren't, and I do think that you have to expect that if you're the Celtics, because they're a well-coached team and they're a disciplined team and they have a couple of guys who can still score when they need to. But all in all, I mean, you know, Hawkes is a rookie. He's a guy who I don't think they were planning on leaning on like this. And Adebayo, I mean, he comes and goes in these playoffs. Caleb Martin, I agree, is a bum. And Tyler Hero is a bum too, by the way. So I think that for the most part, there's just not enough firepower on that team. The only thing they can do is try and neutralize the Celtics.
Ryan,
that's it.
Ryan, what'd you call Tyler Hero?
Over the weekend, I said that Tyler Hero is just Sam Hauser with handles. And then I watched game one, and I would like to apologize to Sam Hauser for disrespecting his name like that.
Okay, big insult.
Do you imagine if the Heat had Sam Hauser?
No, they would like Sam Hauser.
Lose
these
by
days.
10 instead of 20.
Ryan hates the Heat. If you're unfamiliar with that, he hates the Heat. It's too bad Jimmy Butler's not out there, because if they
it's not as fun. It's still pretty fun though.
Okay, but if
I was giggly when it was like 17-2, I'm like, yeah, this is what they do.
It was 14-0 and 17-2. That is true to start the game.
These are going
to
be rock fights, by the way. Pray to God the Celtics hit shots and they get the series over with, because the Heat historically, I would not say they're a dirty team. I will say they struggle to score. They struggle to score 100 points. So pray to the basketball gods that the Celtics just keep shooting, because otherwise these games will be unwatchable.
Yeah, well, and good luck, because when the Celtics hit 10, 11, 12, it's coming. It might not happen this round, but it's coming. Can they win games differently? They could not in the past. That's part of why they haven't won a championship.
You know what really surprised me in this game? This is random, but that guy Jovic, mm-hmm. Nikola Jovic with the big nose.
Yeah. I thought Nikola Jokic was so much better than that.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, he's a two-time, soon to be three-time MVP.
I thought that guy Jovic was really playing well. He had a couple block shots. He was hitting threes and all this, and I looked at the box score, and he was like a minus 35. Yeah. I was like, holy crap.
He has started all these games that Jimmy Butler has missed out on, and that's exactly what he does. He'll knock down a three, and you're like, all right, he's good, and then you turn around and go, where is he?
No.
Because Spoelstra goes, I can't leave him out there. He's a liability on the defensive end of the floor, and he gets sat.
They stink. The Heat are bad. Without Jimmy Butler, they stink. And so the only way they're going to beat the Celtics is mucking it up. So did that make a difference? Did they order the code red? You can jump in. I like Tatum's response to this, by the way. Let me hear Jason Tatum after game one. Arcand alluded to it earlier, and I thought this was a good answer.
What went into just stepping right back up and then kind of strutting to the free throw line?
Just understanding it's playoff basketball, right? It's a physical game, playing against a physical team, you know, gonna happen. It's not the last time I'm probably gonna get hit like that or fouled in this series. So, you know, I wasn't hurt. You know, you get hit like that, you know, just get up. And I knew he was in the bonus, so go down there and knock the free throws down.
Okay, I like that answer. And that's the right mindset from Tatum. I hope he keeps that up. I hope they didn't rattle him. I hope that he continues to just get up there and not start chirping at the refs or looking for calls. He gets up, hits his free throws, and makes him pay that way. I hope he keeps doing that. I like that answer, but I'm going to hold him to it. Can I hear the other side? This is Caleb Martin. After the game, I know the audio was kind of poor, but let's listen into what he had to say about his foul on Tatum.
What happened to the most after that play?
Nothing. I mean, he's just hard foul, I'm trying to take it for his teammate. I don't know. You know, I try to go help him up. Obviously, I got a, you know, I just heard him hit the floor. I didn't know. Obviously, I know I hit him pretty hard, but momentum was carrying me. I think I got pushed into that direction, but you know, hard foul, try to pick him up. That's just what it is. You know, Jimmy on the floor, I'd have done the same thing, I'm sure. So, just what it is.
Okay, what it is, hard foul. Heat are going to keep doing it. Will it rattle the Celtics' cage? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. And even if it does, if it gets them off their game, is it enough to make a difference? What are the Celtics going to drop in this series? A game? Two? They should drop zero against this team.
I hope they don't drop any, but if I'll maybe allow for one. And here's why. Against the Hawks last year, they dropped two games,
yep.
Right? And
yeah.
What do we all say? Oh, it's two games against Atlanta. Who cares? Doesn't matter. They weren't ready for that next round series against the Sixers. They
had to
come back.
Go seven.
And then they went down 3-0 to the Heat. So I take this seriously, even against a bad team. Take care of business here. Don't let them off the mat. Don't play with your food. Don't make mistakes that'll come back to haunt you later on in the playoffs.
So let's see how they respond. You can jump in. All your Celtics thoughts, 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the Bruins and their goalie decision.
There is no fear in this dojo.
That comes your way at 4 o'clock. Let's get back to the latest on the Patriots. Adam Schefter had some updates, or did he? About the number 3 pick. We'll do that next.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Jones and Mego on WEEI.
New England's going to listen to teams that call. The two teams in my mind that I've been able to ascertain that have been the most active calling up to number 3 have been the Minnesota Vikings, number 1. And I think second, if we're going to quantify it, is the New York Giants. Those are the two teams that have expressed an interest in moving up to number 3. Now, whether they can get up to number 3 is a whole other issue. Whether New England is willing to go back is a whole other issue. It's going to take a lot. And so I don't know ultimately that New England is going to move off that pick. New England may just stay right where it is. And so if you're the Vikings, and I also think, by the way, yes, I said Drake May, but I also think that in a perfect world, the Vikings would have a high degree of interest, as would other teams, in Jaden Daniels. But I still think, as we talked about, that Jaden Daniels is the favorite to be number 2. So if Daniels goes number two, obviously he's not going 3. If he goes to 3, the price of 3 goes up a lot if the Commanders decide not to take that pick. But I think the Commanders, in the end, will opt for Daniels. That's my read on it. And if they do, then I think we got the Vikings, who expressed the most interest in coming up to number 3. The Giants have expressed some as well. And the Patriots very likely are possible to just sit where they're at and pick from number 3.
I honestly think I'm more confused after listening to Schefter on the McAfee show. Ryan, you think he's just afraid to say anything now?
I heard that in real time, and I think he's probably gotten a talking to from some of the teams that he is clued in on. So when he's saying, you know, I think it's likely, or my belief is, like, Schefter knows, and this is unfortunately where Schefter gets in trouble. He tries to be opinion Schefter, and he starts saying stuff that we all go, well, that's factual, because Schefter has to know better than I do.
Okay, I think Schefter knows. I think Washington has taken Daniels too. He's been saying it for weeks. But I think he's a little guarded. I think you're onto something here, Ryan. I think he's a little guarded that he's talking extemporaneously on his podcast 2 weeks in a row and says, I don't want to tip any picks, but Daniels is going 2nd to Washington. And then he goes on some random Commanders podcast, and at the tail end of a 30-minute hit, he goes, go get your jerseys, guys. And I think he's just sensitive to that. And maybe he is getting yelled at from the league or whomever. Hey, Adam, we want people tuning in for the draft in 3 days, 4 hours, 12 minutes, sorry, 11 minutes, 58 seconds, 57, 56, 55.
The price of 3 goes up a lot if the Commanders decide not to take that pick.
We want people tuned into the draft. Could you not give away the first 3 picks to the draft? And so he's not even firmly reporting. Remember, this used to happen years ago, and all the insiders got a talking to. Don't report before the draft. There's a deal worked out between, you know, Mario Williams and the Texans, when everybody thought it was going to be Reggie Bush.
Right.
I remember that being a big story at the time. It's like, whoa.
Like 06 or whatever.
A lot of the intrigue was taken away because we knew who was going 1 before the draft. That would have been a big moment. They want people tuning in. So maybe he got chirped by the league, or maybe he's just sensitive to every little thing he says, blows up, and gets aggregated. I know other insiders feel that way from time to time. And so maybe that's all it is. But I'm more confused after listening to that. All I know is I don't think Washington's moving the pick, and I really don't think the Patriots are moving the pick either. Curran's basically told us that. Reese wrote it over the weekend. I know what Diana Russini had to say earlier today, but she's kind of out of left field, Arkan. The Patriots are listening and taking calls from teams looking to move into number three. Elliot Wolf is running point, but I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision-making. So, fine, they're listening. Elliot Wolf is listening. He's running point. But ownership is making the pick, and I don't think ownership wants to trade the pick. I felt that way for months.
Yeah, I think what it really is, what that says to me, or what the translation of it that I can best make, is that they're listening to trade offers, but if you're going to trade out of there, it has to be something that is approved by ownership, and that's that. It's not going to be a football, strictly a football decision. Like, if you think, oh, it'd be better for the team if we got this pick and that pick and all these other picks, and that's really the way to go about it. That's what Elliot Wolf thinks, and that's what Alex Van Pelt and the rest of these guys think. Great. But you have to run that by ownership, and they're going to be the ones that make the final call on it. And I don't know that there's going to be a trade package that could satisfy ownership right now. I'm not sure if that even exists. You know, they may just be so gung-ho about getting a quarterback or a certain quarterback at three that it doesn't matter what the offer is, but they're just listening because you got to listen. So yeah, it might be that.
Don't you think ownership would be more open, just to use two teams that Schefter named there, don't you think they'd be more open to – you know, two picks in this year's draft plus Justin Jefferson, if that were really on the table, from Minnesota?
Yeah.
The other team he mentioned, and by the way, I don't think that offer is going to happen. I don't think Jefferson's in play. But I think they'd be much more interested, ownership, in that level of trade than just a billion picks from the Giants. What can the Giants really offer at the end of the day? Just picks.
Yeah.
So I think ownership would be, they could sell two first-round picks and Justin Jefferson. They could sell that. How do you sell just a boatload of picks from the Giants? Unless number six, you can still get J.J. McCarthy, and they love McCarthy. I just don't think...
Can still get a quarterback that you want, that you value, and that ownership is okay with, plus getting, you know, another first-round pick and then two first-round picks for the next 2 years, that's something that I think the Crafts would be okay with. If they really think all those quarterbacks are the same and that there's not a big drop-off from May to McCarthy, then that makes sense.
Okay, let me give you an update. And by the way, our draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston and Cape Cod's choice for home heating, oil delivery, and expert HVAC product and services at McFarlandEnergy.com. It's also brought to you by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and by McCormick Spices. Maybe Mego needs to get her caffeine from Chock Full of Nuts as opposed to the bad Mountain Dew that she got earlier today and had to leave. You sent this, Arkan, from Burt Breer. He says a lot of people have been involved in the process. Elliot Wolf, Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, Ben McAdoo, T.C. McCartney, Alonzo Highsmith, Pat Stewart, Matt Groh, and Cam Williams were all a part of the team's traveling crew to quarterback's pro days, with a few others sprinkled in as well. You know who he doesn't name check there? Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft,
yes.
Robin Glazer. They're right. All involved, but I get what he's saying. None of them were at the pro days. They've also had, a voice as Wolf tries to pull together all the information the team has compiled on Daniels, May, McCarthy, and Penix. So, again, I just think there's too many voices on this, but ultimately they're all going to get overruled by ownership anyway. It's worth noting, Breer writes, that Penix was a late addition to the team's slate of 30 visits, and I've heard on good authority that was in case the team decided to trade down. So that's what you were talking about, Arkan. If you can still get a quarterback you like, trade down and take the haul. If Daniels is there, I bet they take him. Both May and McCarthy have their their fans in the Patriots building. And if it's down to those two, my guess at that point is the team sticks at three and takes May. In any case, my money is that May goes third, with the Giants and Vikings, same teams that Schefter just mentioned, possible trade partners for New England if the Pats decide to move. So what I hear there, they have Daniels two, they have May three, they have McCarthy four, which is exactly what Jeremy Fowler told us last week when he joined us here on Jones and Mego with Arkan. So I think some of their intentions are leaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Adam Schefter, what do you think they're doing at three? What are the best odds they're going to do at three? He contradicts himself again here on the McAfee Show.
Anything's possible draft week and things happen. But if you're asking me the most likely scenario is that the Commanders stay at two and take Jaden Daniels, in my mind.
Okay, cool. And then the Patriots most likely probably stay at three and take their quarterback.
Well, they're less likely to stay. They're going to listen. How about this?
Yeah.
They're more likely to move the pick than the Commanders, but I still think the odds favor them staying where they are. How about that?
Okay, like, got it.
Does that make sense?
Yes, no. We're at like 74% probably for the Patriots. Okay. 78% probably.
I'd say 75% they stay where they are. I hate to put percentages on this because
no, no, but it is. It's just a. This is for to paint a picture. This is to paint a picture. You'd have the
right,
Commanders
exactly,
at like
exactly. I think the Commanders are likely to stay at 2 and pick their quarterback. I think the Patriots are a little less likely than the Commanders to stay at 3, but still more likely than not okay. to make that pick at 3. And it's up to a team this week to change the Patriots' mind, which could happen.
Okay. Hey, it's not 100%.
No.
That's
no.
what I'm hearing.
Okay, you ever read like a sentence in a book?
Yep.
And you just keep reading it over and over and you can't get past that yep. one set. That's like what Schefter just said.
I have no idea what he's doing. He's terrified of the headline. Adam Schefter says 75% Patriots are staying at pick 3. Which if we could if we can aggregate that and get that up on the website or the Odyssey app or something like that, that'd be great.
It's a very wordy headline.
Adam Schefter tells Pat McAfee 75% chance the Pats are staying at 3. That's true. It is very wordy.
Not a great economy of language.
Let me tell you, 75% not high enough. No. McAfee just said it. McAfee's like, so it's not 100%. I want to hear 99%. I don't like that Schefter said 75%.
It's also not 100%.
No, I don't like that he said 75%. That's not a high enough number for me.
I'm all right with it. I mean, listen, I think that that's probably, if it was 99%, if it was higher than 75%, I think that we would be hearing all of this information in such a different way. It's been way too long, and not one guy who has been sort of declared our guy. You know, if the Patriots were ready to do that, then they would
sure,
do
though?
It. I think so.
I feel like it started. It started to crystallize around Drake May.
It started to, but we're also days, 4 hours, minutes, and 41 seconds away. Prior to this past week, I think it's really been up in the air.
Okay. But Daniels didn't happen firmly to Washington until like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And so Bedard, Breer, Schefter, Reese is mentioning it, I think, in as many words. Fowler told us the order last week. I think it started to leak out who they expect to get. I think. I could be wrong. And look, Drake May, number one on the Jones big board. He's been there since the day Caleb Williams cried on his mom. I can tell you, I can date it if you want. The day I moved Drake May to the top of my big board. So I'm more than happy with him as the third pick. You guys can jump in. 617-779-7937.
Headline, Schefter, colon.
I think the Commanders are likely to stay at 2 and pick their quarterback. Yeah, I think the Patriots are a little less likely than the Commanders to stay at 3, but still more likely than not
Yikes.
To make that pick at 3. And it's up to a team this week to change the Patriots' mind, which could happen.
Yeah, it could.
A little worse.
Definitely could. I follow. I'm picking up what he's putting down.
We have to shrink the font a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Can't go 36 there.
No. That's true. You got to really sandwich the...
We'll start with like 12.
All the characters together. Yeah, you're going to have to... Oh, no. 10.5 or 10. Something
5.
Like that.
10.5. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you got to go tiny. Anyway, we'll get back into your Celtics thoughts, all your draft thoughts as well. What are the Patriots doing at 3? Do they have a plan? How involved is ownership? We'll continue to get to that. Plus, we'll get back to our big question of the day. What are the Bruins doing in net tonight? And what should they do for the rest of the series? That's next.